we appreciate. And had for 30-something kids and plus everyone that helped. So it was good. And ended it with snow combs, huh? That was good, too.
And a bounce house.
Yes, yes. Well, that was a very appropriate song, I Will Rise and on Eagle Wings. And a good verse to go with that is Isaiah 40:31, right? I will mount up with strength like the wings of an eagle. Okay. Well, let's look at our message for today. I've been sharing several messages concerning spiritual warfare, which Satan is behind all of that, all of the bad things and all the temptations and everything in life. And one of the things that we need to do in our life to help protect us and help us to keep our focus on the Lord, and we know there is power in worship when we worship the Lord. And this is a particular message I pulled out from the Old Testament. And of all places, I pulled it from 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat. If you dig into the scriptures, you'll find all kinds of examples of how God worked through people, through this king, Jehoshaphat, and used him mightily for the kingdom of God, for Judah. And so if you want to turn there, if you can find 1 Kings or 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and then come to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, then after Chronicles, you have Ezra, Nehemiah. So right in there in the middle is 2 Chronicles of these chapters. So if you'd like to go there with me, I'll read the first four verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And this is where Judah was invaded. And verse 5, Jehoshaphat's prayer begins, but I want to read the first four verses. Now it came about after this that the son of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea at Aram. And behold, they are Hezron and Tamar, that's Edomite." And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned to his attention, here you go, to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. Now, this is where they sought to worship God. And this is why I said there is power in worship. Because we come to God in worship. We come to Him in prayer. We come seeking His will. We come to hear His word. We come to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And He will meet each need in our life, whether it be physical or spiritual or emotional, whatever need we have, we will find it. God will give us grace and mercy and meet our need. And that's exactly what He did here in these four verses. They sought the Lord. Anytime you're in trouble in your life, physically or spiritually or emotionally, turn to God. Don't turn to other things in this world, because they will not satisfy. They cannot meet that need. But God can, and He will. So, by that, if the Lord has ever asked you to do something for Him, how many can say He has asked you to do something for Him? I can say that. over and over and over and over. And you struck out early. Sometimes you just strike out. And then this message is for you. It really is. It's for me. We're going to find out that whenever we struggle with God, when we struggle, it's not because the Lord has failed to keep His promise, but it's because we have slacked off in our worship to the Lord and in keeping our eyes fixed solely upon Him. See, we do the drifting. God doesn't drift. He always keeps His promises, and He will always. That's a promise. If we hold nigh to Him, He'll hold nigh to us. He will be close to us. He wants us to build that relationship with Him every day. So this morning, we're going to examine the account here, as I just read here in the life of the Old Testament character, Jehoshaphat. He was the son of a successor of Asa, king of Judah, and his name means Yahweh establishes justice. And Yahweh is the name of God. And all of those kings and Israelites and Judah knew exactly what Yahweh mean, because Yahweh means loving kindness. Hesed is the Hebrew word for that. And Yahweh establishes justice. And that's why Jehoshaphat went to God to seek Him, to seek His justice, because all of these nations that was coming against Jehoshaphat supposedly was allies of his, and his friends turned against him for some reason. So the Hebrew names often determine person's life direction, and Jehoshaphat's destiny was to be utilized by the Lord to establish justice in the kingdom of Judah. Now, when you start getting serious about the Lord, now listen to me this morning. His work, if you get close to the Lord and get serious about the Lord and the Lord's work and ministry in your life, that's when Satan will begin attacking you. He will go after you. He will. And Satan loves to make situations which require simple faith and obedience complicated and confusing in order to trick you or to take you off track. So this morning we're going to observe how Satan complicated Jehoshaphat's life and tried to, and his judicial forms of what he was trying to do, how he tried to rob him of the peace and his success. Now, Jehoshaphat, he was trying to bring reforms in the judicial system, and they were all against him. So, we'll also examine how Jehoshaphat was able to overcome confusion, overcome doubt, and ultimately defeat, and discover how believers can win against Satan and overcome the spiritual attacks that he throws at us each day. Now, this morning we'll learn two of the four helpful keys, and there's four, but I'm splitting this up because there's so much in these four verses. So next Sunday I will have part two, and we'll talk about the other two key examples. But this morning we'll be looking just at two. So first of all, let's look at seek God when the enemy attacks. The first thing that Jehoshaphat did, he sought God. The scripture said he went to God in prayer. He sought God. So the first key to overcome spiritual attacks through our worship is to seek God when the enemy attacks. Seek Him. And you know when he attacks you, he'll cause doubt, he'll cause confusion, he'll do anything to distract you and tempt you to turn away from God. Now, so Jehoshaphat was doing a good thing in Judah by sending priests throughout the land, teaching the people the law of the Lord, by casting out idols that was present in Judah at that time. And he was doing a judicial reform of that nation, trying to make things right with the people and God, pointing them to God. And here we see trouble come upon Jehoshaphat immediately through the other nations and somewhat called his friends. So the Bible doesn't come right out and say that Satan was the culprit. But from what we know about Satan and many of his schemes, we can expect that he was behind these events. He has been from the very beginning, since he got cast out of heaven because wanting to become greater than God. He was cast down to this earth, and this is where his domain is, and this is where he attacks all of our lives. So Satan always seeks to interrupt God's plan, your plan, to frighten believers and by instilling doubt within our hearts. That's what he tries to do. So you give Satan an inch and he'll be a ruler. He will. He will be your ruler if you let him do that. And you don't have to let him do that. Because if you are a believer and have Christ in your life, live for the Lord and let the Lord rule your life. So the people who had arrived to attack Jehoshaphat were from Moab and Ammon and the few other places, according to verse 1. So these would be attackers looking back at going down to verse 10, were the people that God would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. But yet now they have turned on Jehoshaphat. So Judah is being assaulted by the nation they had spared en route to Canaan, when they was going to Canaan from Egypt. So in other words, the people who came against Jehoshaphat could have been considered allies. Now they have become adversaries, just like Satan. So Satan likes to turn allies and friends against us. That's what Satan does. He's an enemy. He's a tempter. He's a liar. There's nothing good about him. Nothing at all. So if you recall, he used one of Jesus' friends. Think about this. Judas Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And that's why Jesus went to the cross and was crucified. But it was in fulfillment of God's plan from the very beginning. But Judas chose to deceive and turn everyone against Christ. And he was crucified. So whenever friends turn on us, it can be one of the most difficult experiences in our life. And we probably all experienced that at some point in time. It's very hurtful. So God wanted Jehoshaphat to do something great for him. But then the devil tried to cause him to doubt. And he wanted Jehoshaphat to terminate his mission that God had placed in his heart to do. Satan often uses doubt to divert many of God's plans and dreams in our lives. See, It's God that places his dreams and visions in our hearts. And they begin as little seeds. You know, a lot of things that churches do, seeds, little seeds are planted. They might not take root right then or the next day. It might be 6 months. It might be a year or 2 years, right, Dennis? Dennis and I, us deacons, and all of you have seen this. Little seeds that, you know, you have planted. And things, we have seen this church go from a little seed to huge, huge ministries. And they are successful. And that's how God works. And one of the tools he uses, Satan uses, is doubt. He'll let it play, hey, this is not going to work. Don't even try it. If you hadn't done it before, it's not going to work. That's what Satan will do. And another one is unbelief. Makes you unbelieve. Well, maybe this is not going to work. God can't bless this. This won't happen. And that's planting doubt and unbelief in our minds. Satan uses this deception to work on our mind. And we've got to block him out. Shut him out. Not allow him to do it. He will tell us that we're insufficient to handle the Lord's assignments, and he'll cause us to doubt until we terminate our mission. One example for me, when I was being called to the ministry, I know God was calling me. I know it was Satan planting doubts in my mind. You're not adequate. You're not sufficient. You don't know what you're doing. You can't be a preacher. You can't preach God's word. All of those things enter my mind. How would I do that? Well, if God calls you, he'll equip you. He'll provide a way for you. He always has and he always will. He surely will. Satan succeeded in making Jehoshaphat afraid. If you look at verse 3. Usually what happens whenever a believer becomes afraid is he will resort to reason. Try to reason things out. That's what Satan will do. Well, reason, but reason his way, not the Lord's way. For a solution. So he will rely on his own understanding. He wants us to, that's how he wants us to do. On our own understanding instead of God's infinite wisdom. Pray for wisdom each day. If you read James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if we lack wisdom, we lack understanding, ask the Lord and he'll give it to us. That's a promise, and he will do that. You know, a believer can actually reason himself out of God's will if he is not careful. Now, Jehoshaphat feared, but unlike many people, he kept his head on straight, and that's why he went to God. He relied upon God instead of himself. He said, yeah, I'm a king, and I've been placed in this position. I've been leading Judah and all the great things. But Scripture said he was afraid, but then he remembered, I have a God more powerful than anything, any enemy, any nation, and therefore I'm turning to God. And that's what he did. And we read how he asked the Lord for help and sought him desperately in verse 4, setting the example for all of Judah to follow, an example for all of us today as we read this scripture today. When in doubt, turn to the Lord. When you're afraid, turn to the Lord. When you have fears and misunderstandings, turn it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need your help. And he will give it to you. I promise you. He always has me. I know he has you. And he always will. Now, second thing, we need to confess our weaknesses, but God's strength. We are weak. And see, in Hebrews chapter 4, you know, it says when we pray, God knows our weaknesses. In the KJV, it says our infirmities. God knows every weakness we have. Satan knows your weaknesses, right? And when you are at your lowest, your weakest point in life, that's when Satan moves in and tries to make you doubt, fear, and be afraid and question God. And then you say, get lost. Get out of here. And then get your Bible out and start reading to him. That's what I do. I'll quote scripture. I try to be like Jesus, quote scripture to him, and he don't want to hear it, and he'll boogie, he'll leave. Until another opportune time when you're at weak again. If he don't succeed, he'll come back. You can count on that. So, confess your weakness and depend on God's strength. In 2 Chronicles 20:12, it says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. See, that's it. That's why we need God's wisdom. So, the second key right here to overcoming spiritual attacks through our worship is to confess our weakness, but God's strength. God's all powerful. He's all knowing. He knows everything we go through, and he'll go through it with us. The Lord desires is to deliver us from the enemy, Satan. But he can't do so until we let go and let him have his will. So we have to be willing to turn the control over to God, our lives. Be yielding and submissive to God. So we have to be willing to do that. We let go by humbling ourselves just as Jehoshaphat did and admitting that we have no power or control in our own lives. We must be willing to let it go, and let God take control over our lives. We can say that. Let's say, let go, and then let God have control. That's how we do it. We must allow the Lord to work in our life by fixing our eyes solely upon him, just as Jehoshaphat did. See, the Bible is full of examples how men in power and great authority, even though they were there, they weren't there on their own. They needed God, and they turned to God, and that's what we have to do as well. And to help us do this, we need to stop trying to figure things out through human logic and effort and let God's grace work in our life. God's grace is always sufficient. See, the Lord's free gift of help is sufficient in every time of need. And that's what Hebrews 4:13 tells us. In time of need, he's always there. So when we do that, God will take control of our life. See, we need to let go, seek God's face, and ask for his guidance. Let go, seek God's face, and ask for God's guidance, and he will definitely give that to us. For a good example, suppose somebody came up to you and says, you know, I need $100. And you say, well, I don't have $100, but I've got $1 I'll give you. And now suppose that person says, no, if you can't give me $100, I don't want your dollar. Would you be reluctant to give him other assistance if he refused? But if he took your dollar, then you would probably be willing to give him more as it come along, right? Well, think about this. This is similar to how God's gift of grace works in our life. And you think about it. The Lord could refuse to help us if we push him aside and attempt to do things our own way, because we're willing to tell him we don't need your help, that we've got it all figured out and we can do it on our own. Well, John 15 said, if we abide in him, he'll abide in us. And it also says nothing is impossible with God. Without God, we can do nothing. Read John chapter 15. That's a good chapter to read too. So if we look only unto God, then we'll allow our dependence on him, just like a little child depends upon us, the parents, to meet their need. He'll be willing. And when we're feeling lost and void in direction of our life, then we need to look unto the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ. It's in Revelation 22. And the Lord will keep us safe and fight our battles. He fought the battle for Jehoshaphat. He fought the battle for Abraham, Moses, you name it. Noah, Jonah, all of those in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He'll fight our battles. He'll fight your battles and my battles. We just got to be willing to turn them over to him. He's all sufficient. Everything, he has everything. Everything we need, turn it over to him and he'll provide it. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We know power comes from you, and there's power in worship. There's power in prayer. And we just need to learn to yield ourselves each day into your hands. Lord, we may not always understand. We don't always know the answers, but we know that you have all the answers. And we know Satan is going to be right there and say, God's not going to help you. You're on your own. But we know we're not. We know that we can turn to you, because you're our Heavenly Father and all your promises are true. Everything in your word is true. And we know that you love us, you care for us, you sent your son to the cross to die for our sins, and now he is seated at your right hand in the power of the Holy Spirit and intercedes when we pray. If we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes and prays for us, because you are our intercessor. And Lord, whatever the needs are today, there's many, many needs. Every one of us that comes in the front doors or side doors or however we come in to this sanctuary, Lord, we all have needs. And I lift them up to you right now, Lord, for your cleansing, for your power to take over. May we put our trust, all of our trust, and leave the circumstances of life to you. There are painful days in our lives. There are hard days in our lives. There's days that we don't understand. Some days we don't even feel like getting up in the morning, because we're fearful of the things that we'll be facing and being challenged with. And Satan is right behind it. But Lord, when we look to you in faith, knowing that your grace and mercy is sufficient, our day will end much better. So whatever the decisions are this day, Lord, may we be willing to say yes to you, Lord, no to Satan. I'm walking with you, Lord. I'm following you. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my sustainer. Lord, our life will change for the better. Whatever the decisions are, Lord, with your Holy Spirit speaking to each one of our hearts, make it clear and plain of what we are to do. Walk this aisle, come down to pray, whatever it is, Lord, make it clear. As a child, we'll be able to understand. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.